Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim Daf Tezvav, and we will begin on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis at the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches us some other situations of Nedarim and teaches us if these Nedarim are valid or not valid Nedarim. It teaches us the Mishnah Kanim Shani Yoshin. It once says that he's making a neder that he won't sleep, shani medabe that he won't speak, shani mehalach that he won't walk. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'oim le'ishtoi, if somebody says to his wife, kainim ani mishamshech, that I make a neder that we will not have relations, hareze b'loyachal dvaroi, these nedarim are considered valid nedarim, that if one violates these nedarim, he's over the avera of bal yachel. The Ran tells us that the wording of the Mishnah is Kainim She'ani Yoshin, because as we have been learning, we'll continue to learn, that for a neder to be effective, it has to reflect a tangible item. So for the neder to be effective in our Mishnah, he had to have said She'ani Yoshin, She'ani Bedaber, that there's a Heftzah that he's prohibiting upon himself. However, the Ritva disagrees, and the Ritva says that even if the person making this neder will use the wording She'eni Yashan, She'eni Medaber, it would also be a valid neder, because the Ritva says it's no worse than a Yadis Nedarim. But it's interesting to point out that the Namuke Yosef says that even according to the Ran, that if one used the wording of She'eni Yoshin, She'eni Medaber, that he holds it's not a valid neder, says in the Mukhe Yosef, just like we learned in the previous year, that the Amoritz, who was Matfis Bedover Ha'osr, even though the Gemara taught us that Hatfasa Bedover Ha'osr is not a valid neder, but by an Amoritz, we are Machmer to consider it a neder, and we require him, if he wants to have the neder annulled, that he has to go through HaTorus, the Dorim, by a Chochem. So too, says the Mukhe Yosef, everybody would agree that in our Mishnah, even if the not proper language was used, an Amoritz would have to have his nether annulled. The Meiri also points out, and will become clearer as we learn the Gemara in Mitzvah Shem, that although our Mishnah speaks about two types of situations, the first group of Ani Yoshin, Ani Medaber, in the last case where someone says to his wife Ani Mishamshech, and then the Mishnah ends with the words Hareze Beloyachal Devoroi, it does not necessarily mean, as will become clear in the Gemara, that the din, that the rule for both, for all of these cases are identical, and we may in fact understand that they have different dinim and different consequences. Says the Gemara Itma, somebody makes a neder that he may not sleep today if he will sleep tomorrow. So of course the bottom line is that he's not allowed to sleep on one of these 2 days. But it's important to point out that the day of the neder is the first day in this case. He's saying I'm not allowed to sleep today, but he's tying it to a stipulation that if he that today he's not allowed to sleep if he sleeps tomorrow. So certainly, if he sleeps today and then he sleeps tomorrow, he will have retroactively violated his nether. However, says Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Ayishan Hayom, he should not sleep today because we're concerned Shema Yishan Lamacher. If he sleeps today, he may sleep tomorrow. And as we just said, if he sleeps tomorrow, he will have retroactively violated his neder. Rav Nachman disagrees. Yishan Hayoim, he may sleep today. V'loy Chashinin, and we're not concerned, Shema Yishan Lamach, that he may sleep tomorrow and will have ended up violating his neder. And Rishonim explain that the Pashta Pshat in explaining the Machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman is that Rav Yehuda holds that sleep is something that one cannot necessarily have total control of, and therefore we tell this individual, don't sleep today because we're concerned you're going to sleep tomorrow because you can't really control yourself from not sleeping. Whereas Rav Nachman says, as Tosfos explains, that a person does have the ability to prevent himself from sleeping. He could poke himself, he could do different types of acts that will prevent him from sleeping, and therefore Rav Nachman says he may sleep on the first day and we're not concerned that he's going to sleep on the next day. However, continues the Gemara, Umayd Rabbi Yehuda will agree, but Omer, that if somebody said Kainem enai b'shinai l'mocher, that the nether is the next day, he's not allowed to sleep the next day, emishin hayoyim. So actually, in both of these nedarim, he's not allowed to sleep one day. However, whereas in the first case we discussed, day number one was the day of the nether, and day number two was the day of the stipulation, in our case, it's just the opposite. The day number one is the day of the nether, and day number one is the day of the stipulation of the Tanai, and day number two is the day of the nether. Here, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Sheyishan Hayoim, that he may sleep on the first day, and we're not concerned that if he sleeps on the first day, he will also sleep on the second day, which is the day of the nether. For says Rabbi Yehuda, Kiloy Mizdar, when are people not careful? Where do we have to be concerned that a person will not keep his nether? B'tanoi, we're concerned that a person is not going to keep something which is only a Tanai. And since in the first case that we discussed in our shir today, the second day is the day of the Tanai, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that the person won't take that day, won't take that Tanai seriously enough. Avil b'isura, in the second case, where day number two is not just the day of a Tanai, it's a day of Isser, there, Mizdar, Rabbi Yehuda says people are careful, and if the nether was worded that day one is the day of the Tanai, and day two is the day of the Isser, Rabbi Yehuda says he may sleep on day one, and we're not concerned that he's going to sleep on day two. Here, we clearly see, as the Rishonim, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're concerned that he may not fulfill the Tanai. As the Ritva and the Rashba, that the Gemara says many times in Masechta Gittin, that one can give a get to his wife, al Tanai, with a stipulation. I'm giving you a get on the stipulation that you will never drink wine. And the halach is that we consider the get a valid divorce. This woman may get remarried, have children, and we're not concerned that she's going to violate the stipulation and retroactively be an Eishes Ish, and these children will therefore be Mamzerim. Why are we concerned here that the person will violate the Tanai versus in Masechet Gittin that we're not concerned that he's going to violate, that the Tanai will be violated? So first the Ritva attempts to answer that the Gemara in Masechet Gittin refers to a situation where the violation of the stipulation requires an active act, going to drink wine. So the woman recognizes drinking the wine, the repercussions of drinking of wine is very serious. They'll make her into an Eishes Ish, Hatshurim Amzeirim. Here, it's sleeping. It's not something that's done actively. It happens passively that the person may fall asleep. However, the Rishonim ask, as we're going to see as we continue learning our shir today, that the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda's concept is relevant even by tanoim, even by stipulations that require action. So therefore the Ramban and Ritva say that since the Gemara Masechet Gittin is referring to an Eishes Ish, a woman recognizes the serious repercussions of the violation of the stipulation, that guarantees that you will not violate the Tanai. Our Gemara, which is a nether, and of course a nether is serious, but it doesn't have the same repercussions, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that the person will violate the Tanai. But here we have a very fundamental question and answer that we need to understand as we get deeper into our shir. Our Gemara is clearly teaching us that a nether can be made with a Tanai. A stipulation can be made attached to a nether. The Mefarshim ask that the Gemara says that one of the rules of Tanoim is that a Tanaikit is only valid in an act that can be done through a Shliach. But something that can be not done through a Shliach, Tanoim are not valid. And therefore, asked the Mefarshim, how could a Neder, which a Neder means that I'm obligating myself, I have to do something or not do something, be valid? How could a Tanai be valid? It requires a stipulation, is only valid, but something that can be done through a Shliach. That's one question the Mefarshim ask. The other question the Mefarshim ask is that Yehuda, as we just explained, says that there's a difference of which is the day of the stipulation versus which is the day of the Isser. And if the second day is the day of the Isser, there Rabbi Yehuda agrees we don't have to be concerned that the person will not be careful. As for Rabbi Nachman Pratshavish, why does the Gemara have to say this pshat? The Gemara said an easier pshat. If a person says, as is the case in the second case of the Gemara, if I sleep today, so day one is the day of the stipulation, and day two is the day of the nether, then I may not sleep tomorrow. So on day one, there is no nether. We only have to be concerned, asks Reb Nachum, to protect Isurim, that one should not violate an Isser. But in the case where day one is only a day of a Tanai, so there's no Isser. There's nothing to protect. So the answer to both of these questions perhaps could be based on what the Brisker Rav says. The Brisker Rav says that when we speak about Tanoim, about conditions attached to Nedarim, it should not be viewed as the same halacha as Tanoim in the rest of Shas. A Tanai and a Neder, explains the Brisker Rav, means the following. As we've been explaining from when we began talking about Nedarim, from the beginning of our Masechta, a Neder requires really two basic characteristics. One is that the person properly verbalized the Neder, but it also requires that the person's intent be met. Piv v'libay shavim. A Tanai in a Neder is not a separate halachic concept that we have throughout Shas, a concept called Tanoim. A Tanai defines the Neder. A Tanai represents what I, the person making the Neder, want, or what I don't want. And therefore, the Tanai and the Neder cannot be separated. And therefore, the Tanoim and the Nedarim are a different category, and the regular halachas of Hilchos Tanoim do not apply by Nedarim. Therefore, we could also understand the answer to Rav Nachum's question. The Tanai and the Neder travel together. And therefore, just like says the, we are always concerned that the Neder not be violated, so too says the Gemara, perhaps we should be concerned that the Tanai not be violated. And therefore says the Gemara, that if the Tanai, if the Neder is day two, a person by nature is more concerned about Nedarim than by Tanoim, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda will be moida that in that case he may sleep on day one. Says the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that if somebody said, Koinim Shani Yoshim Shani Mahalov Shani Medaber, the Neder is a valid Neder. Ask the Gemara, Hechidomi, exactly what is the case of our Mishnah? E Lei Mekriktoni, if we're going to explain the Mishnah as it seems the case is, ask the Gemara, Shani Yoshim you have a Nidra, would this be a valid Neder? V'atanya, Chayma B'Shvuas, we've learned that the Brisa teaches us that Shvuas have a stringency over Nedarim. Shal Shvuas Chalois Adobash Yesh B'Mamish, V'Adobash Eim B'Mamish. Shvuas can take effect even on tangible and on non-tangible items. Mash Enkem in Nedarim, Nedarim only can take effect on tangible items. Ask the Gemara, Vishino Dovashem Be Mamishu. Sleeping is a non-tangible item. So how is this Neder of our Mishnah at all effective? Ella, says the Gemara, the case of the Mishnah is Koinim Einai Bishina. When the person made a Neder that my eyes shouldn't close. So now we have a tangible item, his eyes. Continues the Gemara. and as Tosfos explains. It's certainly, our Mishnah is certainly not telling us that if a person makes a neder, koinem einai b'shina, that he's not going to sleep for one day, that the neder is a valid neder. For it's obvious that such a neder is a valid neder. On the other hand, says the Gemara, if the person did not put any time frame on this neder, in other words, he seemingly said that he's not going to sleep ever, is the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Mishafkinalei ad ovet issa bayachal, will we allow him, is there a concern that he's over the nether? Vamar b'yochan, shvur shlaishin shlaish yamim, if somebody makes a shvur that he won't sleep for 3 days, the halacha is malkanoi soy, we give him immediately malkus for shvur shav, because he took a nether of shvur that in vain, because it's impossible to survive, to not sleep for 3 days, for Yashin Lalter, and he goes, and he should sleep immediately. So we have here Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. So the Ran says, just like we see by Shvuah, that if somebody took a Shvuah not to sleep for 3 days, since it's physically impossible to not sleep for 3 days, therefore the halach is the Shvuah is considered a Shvuah Shav, so too, the Neder is not a valid Neder. However, according to the Ran's explanation, there's a very fundamental difference between a shvua and a neder. A shvua taken not to sleep for 3 days is a shvua shav, for which there is a chiv malchus. By a neder, there is no concept, says the Ran, of neder shav, and it's just a meaningless neder. I, says the Ran, the Gemara compared neder to shvua. It's only to compare it on the conceptual level, not on the halachic level. The Rosh says that if one would take a neder not to sleep for 3 days, although he agrees with the Ran, there is no issa deraisa, there is no concept of a neder shov midaraisa, neder taken in vain. There is, however, a concept midrabanan of a neder shov. That's the Rosh's explanation of the Gemara. However, Tosfos in Masechet Gittin says that just like we have a concept of shvua shav, of a shvua taken in vain, for which there's malchus, so too by neder is there a concept of neder shav, and a neder taken in vain, one would get malchus. And as Rabbi Chanan explains in the Koibetz Ha'oris, the Machloikas Rishonim is how to understand the lav of Layachal Dvorin. The Ran, the Rosh, explain that Layachal Dvorin means that if one has a valid nether, he's not allowed to violate it. Therefore, in our Gemara, where the nether is not a valid nether, there is no isser of layachal dvari. However, explains Rabbi Chanan, that according to Tosfos, the definition of layachal dvari is that a person has to make sure not to say words that are in vain, that are foolish. And therefore, when somebody makes such a nether, he has violated lo yachal dvari. There's also interesting machloikis in Masechet Shavuos between the Rambam and the Ran. In the case of somebody says he's a shvua that he will not eat for 7 days, both the Rambam and the Ran agree that it's a shvua shav, that he gets malchus. However, there's a machloikis why. The Rambam compares the person who makes a shvua not to eat for 7 days to the person in our Gemara who made a shvua not to sleep for 3 days. It's impossible, and therefore it's considered a shvua shav. The Ran says that the reason the person will get malchus is a shvua lavar al divrei Torah. The person who makes a shvua not to eat for 7 days, since if he will not eat for 7 days, he will perish. And we know the Torah says, "V'shmartem ma'od l'nafshaseichem," so it's a shvur laval divrei Torah, and for that, he gets malchus. And the Stipler explains the machloikis between the Rambam and the Ran. According to the Rambam, since the Torah does not allow somebody to put himself into a situation of sakonas nefashos, that defines the reality. Just like a person physically can't go for 3 days without sleep, The same says the Rambam, since a person must eat within 7 days, otherwise he will perish, and if he perishes, he's over divrei Torah. So that defines the reality that he can't do that, because we have to live by the laws of the Torah. On the other hand, the Ran holds the shvua that a person makes not to eat for 7 days is a shvua that he can fulfill. He won't eat. He may die, but he won't eat. And the only consideration is that it's a shvua lavra al divrei Torah. And the stipler goes on to explain what will be the halacha, if what is enough gemina between the Rambam and the Ran, is that, as we have learned and will continue to learn, that a shvua to violate divrei Torah is automatically considered a shvua shav. A neder, however, as we learned, to violate the divrei Torah is effective. So according to the Rambam, that says that this is physically impossible, so therefore one would even make a neder not to eat for 7 days, it's a neder that's not possible to be fulfilled, and the neder would not be a valid neder. According to the Ran, whose entire concern here is that it's a neder lavar al divrei Torah, so therefore according to the Ran, it's a shvu lavar al divrei Torah. If one would make a neder this way, that we learned that the halacha is that a neder lavar al divrei Torah is effective, this neder would be an effective neder when make a neder not to eat for 7 days. However, as the tzois, the halacha is that even though we're saying that a shvua to violate divrei Torah is not a valid shvua, that's only if that's the entire subject of the shvua. The example the tzois gives: if someone makes a shvua not to eat matzah by Pesach, by night, by the first night of Pesach, it's a shvua lava al divrei Torah, and it's not a valid shvua. But what would be the halacha, says the tzois, that if someone made a shvua not to eat matzah mitzvah and matzah shira, which would not mekayim the mitzvah on the first night of Pesach, since the shvua is effective on the matzah ashira, it's also effective on the matzah mitzvah. So ask the tzois, yes, a person cannot survive without eating for 7 days. That's day number 7. But day number 1, day number 2, he can survive. So why is that not considered a shvua that's partially effective? And once a shvua is partially effective, it validates the entire shvua. Says Rabbi Chanan, we don't look at a shvua, we should not look at a shvua of 7 days as 7 separate shvuas: a shvua for day 1, a shvua for day 2, a shvua for day 3, and so on. A shvua of 7 days is one unit, and since that one unit of 7 days a person cannot survive without eating, so it's not considered a valid shvua at all. It's considered a shvua lavar al divrei Torah. From here, the Mefarshim point out, we see the importance of sleep. A person cannot survive without sleeping, the Gemara says, for 3 days. In fact, as we quoted recently, the halacha is that when one goes to sleep in the sukkah, we don't make a bracha leisha b'sukkah, leisha b'sukkah, for we are concerned that the person may not fall asleep. But we still do make a bracha hamapel every night. And the question is, why do we make a bracha of hamapel before we go to sleep? Why should we not be concerned that the person will not fall asleep? The answer is that the bracha of hamapel is not a bracha of before I go to sleep. It's a bracha of shvach v'hoidah, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having created sleep, which is so important to keep us healthy and in good shape. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained, that is the explanation of the bracha of hamapel. Hamapel chevle shena. Chevle means pain, because we know and we recognize in our bracha how much pain is involved if chas v'shalom a person cannot sleep. And in fact, I saw from the Shaul Shuvas Beis Mordechai that he asks a question that perhaps we know on Shabbos a person may only take medicine if he's a chayel shesh besakana, or if he's a nafal mishka, if he's that ill that he falls to bed, question is, if a person can't sleep Friday night, may he take a sleeping pill? Says, because the Beis Marcus says, since we see how important sleep is, perhaps a person who can't sleep should be considered some sort of a chayla, but may even take medicine on Shabbos. However, the Mefarshim ask, David HaMelech in Tehillim, in Perek Kuf Lamed Beis, says, Asher Nishba LaHashem, Nadir LaAveh, Nadir LaAvir Yaakov, and he goes on to say, Im eten shinas l'einai la'afapai tanuma. David HaMelech made a shvu that he won't sleep. Ask the Mefarshim, how could David HaMelech make a shvu that he won't sleep? Al Gemara tells us it's clearly impossible to go more than 3 days without sleep. Answer the Mefarshim. David HaMelech didn't say that he won't sleep. David HaMelech says that he won't go to sleep. That he won't lay down in a bed until the Beis HaMikdash is built. But if he's sitting on a chair and he falls asleep, which is what's going to happen, that's not what David HaMelech meant. So we come back to our Mishnah. We're trying to understand what is the case of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, El Da Omar, we're going to explain that the case of our Mishnah is where somebody said, Koinem Einai B'Shinai L'Mocher, that tomorrow there's another that I may not sleep, Emishan Hayoyim, if I sleep today. So day one is the day of the Tanai, and day two is the day of the Isser. Ask the Gemara, Ha'amrit, we said earlier that everyone, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, Kol Bisurei Mizdar, that if the first day is the day of the Tanai, and the second day is the day of the Isser, we don't have to be concerned that the person will violate the Isser. So why is the halacha that he's not allowed to sleep on day one? Ella, Pshita Dama, how do we explain our Mishnah? That Koinem Eina B'Shina Hayoyim, day one is the day of Isser, I'm not allowed to sleep today, Im Isha L'Mochro, with a stipulation, if I sleep tomorrow. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda is right, and Rabbi Yehuda said at the beginning of our Shir, that a day one is the day of the Isser, and day two is the day of the Tanai, that he's not allowed to sleep on day one, so ask the Gemara, V'Loi Naim Hayoyim, if he's not allowed to sleep day one, Kinayim L'mocher, even if he sleeps on the next day, my Bal Yachot Varyaka, he will have not violated any nether. He already didn't sleep on day one. Ella, it must be that the Mishnah is referring to case, but Denayim, where he did sleep on day one. And we're telling him, if you sleep on day one, and you'll also sleep on day two, you're violating Bal Yachot. Alma is the Naim. So we see that he's allowed to sleep on day one. But to Yuftad Rabbi Yehuda, who says that if day one is the day of the Isser, to sleep, and day two is the day of the Tanai not to sleep, he may not sleep on day one. Answers the Gemara, Kik Tani, how is the Mishnah to be understand the Inayim? Rabbi Yehuda is saying, of course he should not sleep on day one. Rabbi Yehuda says, what happens if he did sleep on day one? If he did sleep on day one, and then he will also sleep on day two, he will have retroactively been over this or Bal Yachol. Ravina goes back to say a different explanation. What is the case of our Mishnah? Lo'olam k'diktani. Our Mishnah says that the person made a nether not to sleep. We asked, sleeping is something that's not tangible, and the nether should not be a valid nether. So how can we say that he's transgressing by Yachel? My by Yachel, what did the Mishnah mean when it said that he's violating by Yachel? It's midrabbonon. It means that he would be over by Yachel midrabbonon. And it's interesting to note that some of the Rishonim point out that since it's only a Bal Yachol Rabbonon, at least he would have to mention the nether properly. He would have to say Koinem, as we said. Koinem Shani Yoshin. But let's say, as we learned in the Mishnah, that not only did he make a nether which is not really a valid nether midaraisa, because it's on an intangible. He also didn't word the nether properly. He said koinem she'eni yashin. So there are two problems with this nether. It's not really a nether because it's on a dovah she'em mamish, and it's also a nether that wasn't worded properly. Then it would not even be osam midrabbanan. Ask the Gemara, umi ikka bal yachol midrabbanan. Is there such a concept that one could violate by yachol midrabbanan? So tomorrow in. Vatanya, here again, Vatanya is a raya, not a kasha. Because it says in Ebraisa, Dvarim Hamutarim, something which is halachically mutter. However, Vacherim Nogba Isser. But the people that treat it stringently and are machmer. Iyatu Rishayla Tirmef Neim, you may not tell such a person that this is mutter. You may not, and the Mefarshim saying you may not tell him it's mutter, nor may you act leniently in front of him. However, the Beis Yosef puts a number of caveats on this din. He says it's only in a situation where the person is noig iser, he has a custom, a constant custom, not to do it, not if he just did it once in a while. And furthermore, the Beis Yosef and the Rishonim explain, it's only when the person recognizes that what he's doing is a chumrah that has, that it's a chumrah, it's not what the din says. And they go on to say, it's a chumrah that has to have a basis in halacha. If somebody just accepts upon himself a chumrah that has no halachic basis, that we don't have to be concerned. Why should we be careful to act this way? Shnema lo yachil dvorai. So here we're not referring to a nether. The person, there's no nether here. Just it says, Shloyach al Devaroi, we have to be careful upon anything that a person accepts upon himself, and he is a Drabbanon. So we see this by Yachal Drabbanon. So Gemara continues in analyzing Rabbi Huda's opinion. Tanan, the Mishnah we're going to learn on Daf Nun Zayin, that a husband says to a wife before Pesach, She'at nenes li'ar Pesach, you may not benefit from me until Pesach. Im teilchel beis avicha ad chag, if you go to your parents' home till any time till Sukkos. So the halach is halach lefnei Pesach. If she went to her father's home before Pesach, the halach is asur b'hanosay ad Pesach. She may not have hanor from her husband until Pesach. Halach. What does this seem to say? That halach lefnei Pesach, if she went to her father's home before Pesach, a surah, then she may not derive hanor from her husband. Loi holcha, but if she did not go to her husband, to her father's home before Pesach, then loi. She's not forbidden to have hanor from her husband before Pesach. Even though there's a possibility that she will go to her father's home between now and Sukkos, which will retroactively activate the nether. Now, if she has hanor before Pesach and then goes to her father's home before Sukkos, she will have been over by Yachal. Yet we see that the Brice is teaching us that she is allowed to have hanor. According to Rabbi Yehuda, she should not be allowed to have hanor now on the concern that she may go to her father's home and she may violate the Tanai. Rav Abba, says Rav Abba, the way to understand the brayse is Hoch lefnei Pesach, if she goes before Pesach and then she now had to derive hanor from her husband, Asura, and if she does, loika, loy holcha, but if she doesn't go to her father's home, still Asura ba'alma, she shouldn't have hanor from her husband, because we're concerned that the nether may be activated retroactively, but until it's activated, she doesn't get Malkus because she hasn't been over by Yachal. Continue the Gemara, but let's understand the Sefer of that Mishnah. Achra Pesach, if went her father's home after Pesach, she's over by Yachal Dvoroi retroactively. Ask the Gemara, if Rabbi Yehuda is correct, Vidalois Ani Lefnei Pesach, that she wasn't allowed to benefit from her husband before Pesach, so how could she over by Yachal? Miyika by Yachal. She didn't have any hanor from him. El Pshita, how must we understand the Mishnah? This Hani, that she did have benefit from her husband before Pesach, and now the Mishnah is telling us that when she goes after Pesach, anytime till Sukkos, to her father's home, she retroactively activated the nether, and she retroactively was over by Yachal. So we see that she obviously had hanor. Alma, Miss Hani, obviously she had hanor during this time. The Tiyufta Rabbi Yehuda says that she should not violate the nether because we're concerned that she's not going to keep the stipulation. Answers the Gemara, Kik Tani, Dis Ani, Harei B'Yachal Dvorai. What the Mishnah means to say is that if she had Hanor, she will retroactively been over by Yachal. And as the Rishonim explained, the Mishnah is actually teaching us that she shouldn't have Hanor. Now the Mishnah is teaching us is, don't have hanor till Pesach. That's the way Rabbi Yehuda is going to explain the Mishnah. Don't have anah to Pesach because you stand the risk that if you do have anah and then you end up going to your father's house, you will have been over retroactively by Yachel. There's a very fundamental machloitis, Ran and Rambam, who will get the Malkus for Bal Yachel. The Ran says that even though it's the husband that initiated the neder, a person has the ability, a husband has the ability to initiate a neder regarding his wife, and that if she violates the neder, she will get the Malkus. The Rambam disagrees with the Ran, and the Rambam says, how could the husband make a neder and that she should be subject to Malkus because of a neder that he made? And therefore the Rambam says that the husband would be over Bayacha, would get the Malkus for Bayacha. Ask the current Oira. According to the Rambam's understanding that it's the husband who's at risk, why are we so lenient? The wife has nothing to lose by going to her father's home. So therefore everybody should agree, asks the Karen Oira. The Rambam, everybody should agree that the wife and husband should not, the wife should not benefit from the husband, because since the husband doesn't control the situation, we should certainly be concerned that the wife will go to her father's home. Says the Karen Oira, even the Rambam, who holds that it's the wife, that's the husband who will get the Malkus, agrees that the wife will be over an Isser. And therefore, according to Rav Nachman's understanding that we began our shiur with, Rav Nachman says that we people are careful even in Tanoim, since the wife also has an Isser that she may be over, that should be a reason why we don't have to worry that they could benefit from each other till Pesach without concern that they will violate the neder. Ask the Gemara another question on Rav Yehuda. Tanan, another Mishnah on Daf Nun Zayin. Somebody says, Sha'at Nenes Li'erachag, a husband tells his wife before Pesach, you're not allowed to benefit from me until Sukkis, and Telchel Beis Avicha Ad Pesach, if you go to your father's home until Pesach. So the halach is, Halach Lefnei Pesach, if she goes before Pesach, the halach is, Asur Be'anosa Ad Achag, then she can't benefit from her husband until Sukkis. Umeteres, Leilach Acha Pesach, but she still may go to her father's home after Pesach. Again, what is the deek in this Mishnah? Halcha, that if she went to her father's home, Asura, then she's forbidden to have Anah from her husband from then until Sukkos. Loi Halcha, but if she didn't go to her father's home, Loi, she's not forbidden to have benefit from her husband even before Pesach. Even though that the possibility exists that she's going to visit her father any time between now and Pesach, and will have retroactively activated the nether. According to Yehuda, she should not be allowed to have Hanor, because we should be concerned that she won't be careful with the Tanai. Amarava, Hua din afila loy halchasura. The halacha is, even if she didn't go to her father's home, she's not allowed to have Hanor from her husband, because we're concerned that she still may go there. But the way to understand the Mishnah is halcha, if she went to her father's home, and then she has benefit from her husband, Asura Velaika. There's Malkus. Loyalka, but if she did not yet go to her father's house, Asura Ba'alma, she now not have Hanor from her husband because of the concern that she still may not go, that she still may go. But since she hasn't yet gone, and therefore she hasn't activated the nether, even though she now not have Hanor, there won't be any Malkus involved. Meisvei. So the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yehuda from the following Braisa. If somebody says, Kikaza olai hayoim, if somebody says, I may not eat this loaf of bread today, im elich lemakom ploini lemacher, if I go to this place tomorrow, the halacha is, ochal, if he ate the bread today, harezeh b'bal yelech, he shouldn't go to this place tomorrow. So we see that he's allowed to eat the bread. But according to Yehuda, he should not be allowed to eat the bread today, because we should be concerned that he's going to violate the Tanai. Rabbi Yehuda says people aren't careful with the Tanayim. Answers the Gemara, Miktani Oichel. Does the Braisa say that he's allowed to eat the bread the first day? Braisa says, Ochel Tani, if he ate the bread, the Ki Ochel, if he ate the bread, and now if he'll go tomorrow, retroactively, he will have violated the nether, and therefore, Reza Bel Yelich should be careful not to go tomorrow. But not to imply that he's allowed to eat the bread on day one. So continues the Gemara quoting that Braisa. The Braisa says, Holach, if he did go to the second place the next day, so raise him a Bal Yachal Devari, he's over Bal Yachal. Mahalach, the Braisa doesn't say that he may go, it says if he went. But why shouldn't he be allowed to go? If according to Yehuda, the Halach is that he should not have eaten the bread the first day, so there's no longer any issue that he could be over the nether. He didn't eat the bread the first day. If the Braisa says that if he went the second day, he's over by Yachal, it implies that he ate the bread the first day. But Rabbi Yehuda says he's not allowed to eat the bread the first day. So it's Kashla Rabbi Yehuda. Amalach Rabbi Yehuda. Who had been the listening Mahalach? The Braisa could have actually said that he's allowed to go the second day, because the Braisa is comfortable that he did not eat the bread the first day, as Rabbi Yehuda tells us. So why did the Braisa not say that terminology? Answers the Gemara, I did the Tani Reisha Ochel, since in the first case it said that if he ate the bread, and again, as we explained, not to say that he should have, but the Braisa is teaching us if he did, what is the halacha? Because it can't say that he's allowed to eat it that day, because according to Yehuda, he's not allowed to eat that day. So for consistency reasons, Tani Sefer Holach, that he went. But truthfully, not only could the Braisa have said if he went, the Braisa could have even said he's allowed to go, because the Braisa assumes that we're following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that he didn't eat the bread the first day, and therefore there's no longer concern about this nether. The Mishnah continued teaching us, if somebody makes a nether that he's not going to have relations with his wife, it's considered a valid nether. Ask the Gemara, how could it be a considered a valid nether? But mishtabed l'midaraisa, a husband is obligated to have relations with his wife, as the pasuk says, sheiruk susa v'inasa lo yigra. Ask the Ran, that we learned in Masechtik Subis that kenomis are so strong, kenomis and hegdish are so strong that they could undo a shibud. So yes, there's a shibud from a husband to a wife, but that shibud could be broken through a kainim. Answers the Ran, as we learned in Masechtik Subis, that Chazal made the shibud that a husband has to a wife to have relations with her so strong that even a kainim cannot break that shibud. Says the Gemara, Ba'omer Hanos Tashmisha Chalaich, the situation here is not where he said that he won't give her relations. He's saying that he's not allowed to have any benefit from her. This case, he's saying he's unwilling to not have tashmish with her. That's something that's reflecting him. So although a person cannot make a nether on his wife that he won't give her tashmish, he can make a nether on himself. And as many Rishonim explain, even if the person did not say the nether in this fashion, it's still considered whenever he uses this terminology about making a nether regarding relations, that's how we interpret the nether to be. Dam Rav Kahana, as Rav Kahana said, Tashmishi Alecha, if a woman tells her husband, you're not allowed to, the benefit of my Tashmish is Osir on you, Kaifan Aysam Shamsha. She's obligated, a woman is obligated to give her husband Tashmish, and the nether is not valid. And as the Marit says, that nether is not even require a hafara, it's a meaningless nether. The Shemudah Mishabedaslay, she's obligated to him. If a husband says to a wife, Hanos Tashmishech Alaich, the benefit of your Tashmish on me, the loch is this, Osir. Shei Machil Moil Adam Dava Osoloi. That nether was a valid nether, and therefore we cannot allow them to have Tashmish, because he will have violated his nether. Ask the Ran and the Rajba. If the person made this nether, and he still has Tashmish, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, why is it considered that he's violating the nether? Don't we have a rule, a mitzvah, lav lehenes netnu? So the hana that he has from the tashmish should not be considered a hana. So the Ran answers that where do we apply the concept of mitzvah lav lehenes netnu, where there really isn't any inherent pleasure in the act that's being done. But if there's an act that's being done, which indeed is a mitzvah, but certainly brings with it pleasure, there we don't apply the concept of mitzvah lav lehenes netna. The Rashba gives a different answer. The Rashba doesn't agree with the Ran's concept of saying that the mitzvah lav lehenes netnu is not said with his actual pleasure. He says, what's the reason a person has to have tashmish? So he can be mekayim the mitzvah pruvu. He doesn't have to be mekayim the mitzvah a pruvu, says the Rashba, with this woman. He can be mekayim the mitzvah pruvu with another woman. And therefore, having this tashmish is not a mitzvah. What would be the nafkamina between the Ran and the Rashba? If a person made a nether not to have tashmish with any woman, according to the Ran, we still have the concern he can't have tashmish, because that tashmish brings with it hano. According to the Rashba, that nether would be a violation of the mitzvah, and therefore we would apply the concept of mitzvahs lav lehenes netnu, and that's why the halacha would be that he would be allowed to have tashmish to be mekayim the mitzvah a pruvu.